Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 1, Text 95. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mata Bhakta Vanira Kahan Parila Milan Sada Samadana Kari Kaila Naladhivan. At the house of Advaita Prabhu, he met his mother, as well as all the devotees from Mayapur. He adjusted everything and then went to Jagannath Puri. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew very well that his acceptance of sannyas was a thunderbolt for his mother. He therefore called for his mother and the devotees from Mayapur, and by the arrangement of Sri Advaita Acharya, he met them for the last time after his acceptance of sannyas. His mother was overwhelmed with grief when she saw that he was clean-shaven. There was no longer any beautiful hair on his head. Mother Sachi was pacified by all the devotees, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked her to cook for him because he was very hungry, not having taken anything for 3 days. His mother immediately agreed, and forgetting everything else, she cooked for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. During all the days, she was at the house of Sri Advaita Prabhu. And after a few days, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested his mother's permission to go to Jagannath Puri. At his mother's request, he made Jagannath Puri his headquarters after his acceptance of sannyas. Thus everything was adjusted, and with his mother's permission, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded toward Jagannath Puri. Om Gana Timirandasya Gananjana Silakaya Taksuran Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vrishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Sakadantikam Adadana Strinam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Dulisham Janma Janmani Paragya Yad Bhakti Rasham Payatnai Apayam Amana Bipsamandham Kutam Buhiya Paradhupa Duki Sanatanasham Padumatriyami Pancha Kalpa Thirubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Kapitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Greetings from Stockton, California, where I am the guest of very wonderful hosts, Prem Bhakti Marg, Rasaraj Prabhu, and their sons, Rasaparayana and Chaitanya. I'm upstairs, they're downstairs, so I'm going to say they're in the kitchen making dinner. So I'm going to say Haribo to them downstairs in the kitchen. I'm upstairs in the guest room. So we will continue this very wonderful pastime, Krishnadas Kaviraj Rasika Bhaktamaj, the chief of all the devotees who can conceptualize, relish, and express the highest conception of divinity, which is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his later pastimes, the title of this chapter. But before I do that, I was informed that today was the disappearance day of Sriman Jayananda Prabhu, a great Vaishnava on the mission of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's very amazing that I'm giving class here in Stockton, which is Northern California, just an hour or so from San Francisco, because San Francisco in 1970 at Frederick Street is where I met Jayananda Prabhu and was very impressed with him. I had first met the devotees, actually, now I'm remembering, I saw them in Woodstock in 1969. I had visited that music festival. But seeing is just not a matter of perception. So although I saw them there trekking through the mud, a few devotees, later I found out that one of the devotees was Borijan Prabhu, I did not see. Because seeing is just not a function of the senses. It's also a function of the intelligence. Seeing means being able to process something properly and understand it. Just like if you showed a primitive person a highly advanced computer, would he be seeing a computer if he didn't actually have the frame of reference to understand what it is? So although I saw devotees, I didn't really see them. Then I went to that same temple in Watsika Avenue, and then from there went up to San Francisco. When I went up to San Francisco, so I had met the devotees. Well, I thought it could be an interesting story, because it was actually right here in Northern California that I really received the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And we went to a Chinese restaurant with my friends. I was traveling with three other friends, and we saw a kirtan party outside, and we met the devotees in Los Angeles. And, you know, I remember I joined the kirtan party, and I began to sing with the devotees because we were somewhat impressed in Los Angeles. And then we needed a place to stay, and we had some contacts, but we called up everyone, and by 1970, I can only use an English word, San Francisco was already blown out by the hippie scene, and people weren't so accommodating, but one person somehow said that, look, if you want to stay, there's a parking lot of a football stadium, and I live across the street from that. You could sleep there and use my bathroom in the morning. So we went into the parking lot of this football stadium, and I can't explain it. It was on Frederick Street, and we parked on one side where the backs of some storefronts. So we parked in the parking lot at night, and then we looked into a window. And, you know, we saw the robes of the devotees, and the incense was actually the kitchen of the the temple, of the storefront, Frederick Street. And we looked, and I thought, my God, you know, we came to the San Francisco and on the street, and we saw the devotees. And now we park in this parking lot, and we look in a house, and there are the devotees. I thought, my God, everyone in the city must be into this. But I guess it was just the mercy of Krishna that brought us into the association of devotees when the time for doing so was ripe. It's just mercy. Could have been anywhere in San Francisco. And so we said, we already heard that devotees greeted themselves with Hari Bo, so we said, Hari Bo. And two devotees looked out the back of the window into the parking lot and looked at us and said, ah, Krishna's brought us four. They were so confident. And actually, all those people became devotees at one time or another. They all became devotees at one time or another. And Hare Krishna. And I remember which devotees they were. One of the devotees was Gohari. He was a very wonderful devotee who was the first one to, he made the famous, the Yogi Bar, which was that, you know, the first actual health food bar he made. And the other one was a devotee, Babubahan, who had made Sridhar Swami a devotee, which was an interesting story that Sridhar Marge told me, that Sridhar Marge was, perhaps it was San Francisco or something, and he, this Babubahan, and he was a young man from Brooklyn who whose accent made me sound like Sir Laurence Olivier. And, you know, he was really, you know, practically can I just say, really from the streets of Brooklyn. And he had a table, and he was selling things, and he had a picture of Vishnu. And Sridhar Marge came over, and Sridhar Marge said, he said, what's that picture? And the guy looked at him and said, it's God. And Sridhar Marge said to him, he said, well, what if I rip up that picture? And then the devotee looked at him and said, then I kill you. And Sridhar Marge said, boy, these people are really serious about what they believe. Anyway, they, Krishna brought us four. I remember there was a plate of prasadam, and I remember it was peanuts, chickpeas, and raisins. Anyway, it's Jayananda's disappearance, so I should tell something about Jayananda. But he immediately impressed us, because when we woke up in the next morning,
welcome to the conference call, a service of www.freeconference.com. When you have entered your conference, please announce yourself. While in the conference, you may press 4. Please announce yourself.
And Jayananda immediately engaged us in preparing for the Sunday feast. And I remember it as clear as it was yesterday. We were making Radha Red chutney, and we were peeling the plums. And then Jayananda said, well, you know, we'll finish it up. Why don't you go to Golden Gate Park, which is right there, to Hippie Hill. We're doing kirtan. And we went with the devotees, and we did kirtan. That's the same place where we see the pictures of Prabhupada playing and all the hippies, you know, holding hands, circling Prabhupada. What a glorious, glorious scene. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Pavartana. What potency Prabhupada had. And then when we came back to come to the Sunday feast, Jayananda was at the door, and he was collecting the donation to get in. And we said, what do you mean you're collecting a donation to get in? We what do you mean? You know, we help at the feast. And at that time, you know, the term rip-off and that kind of thing. So we're getting a little belligerent. But he was so sincere in his heart. And we said, look, we don't have any money. We just have traveler's checks. And he just said, he said, well, go to the grocery across the store. They can cash. It was only $1, the cost of the feast. But we were so impressed. I mean, he just, you know, it shows that, you know, he was just dedicated to the Prabhupada, and he just was, you know, can communicate, you know, whatever he had to. So it was nice. And then, and I remember this, it really struck me. And then we were going in there every day. And then one day I went in the temple, and there was a bunch of nuns in the temple with lay people. And I kind of thought they must have been kind of like an immigrant class, not the kind that would come to Krishna consciousness, but they were an immigrant class of people from, like, perhaps Ukraine or some Eastern European country. I got that. And I just saw, like, Jayananda, you know, speaking about the suffering of the world with such conviction. And he had so much compassion. I could see it. I mean, I remember it. He had so much compassion imploring them to take Krishna consciousness. In other words, you can preach and have compassion for others when you actually are experiencing Krishna consciousness itself. When you're experiencing Krishna consciousness itself, then you can feel for those who don't have it. And I saw, my first impressions of him, I saw the depth of his realization, the depth of his compassion, and therefore the depth of his desire to give it to those people. And I clearly saw Para Dukhi Dukhi. I saw that he was suffering for them. And, you know, it was just, it was the heart of compassion. So it was, I saw this was a special person. And then later they asked us, we stayed a few days, would you like to go on Harinam Sankirtan? And we said, sure. And we got in the car and the van, and we met so many devotees. We met this devotee, Lochan, a very humble devotee who made those Prabhupada murtis, and he was taking out the articles of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to show us the Vedanta, its ontology and morphology. And I had one friend with me who is just such a genius, Akshobhya. He was the brother of Kirtan Ras, who lives upstate New York, and he was such a genius, and they were discussing these articles. And there was Bhakta Greg, who later became Guru Kripa, and then there was Vishal. So we all got in this van, and we drove, and we were going to the Hare musical performance, where when the devote, because it was about it was a musical about the hippies, the age of Aquarius, and you know, they heard the Hare Krishna mantra, and then the devotees hear Todd. And boy, it was, anyway, we went, and we were driving in the van, and the hills of San Francisco are very high. So it's interesting that I'm lecturing here on Jayananda's disappearance, you know, and this is actually, in 6 months, this is the first class I gave where it coincided with an appearance day of either a Vaishnava or the Supreme Lord. Somehow in 6 months, you look, there was never a festival on Wednesday or Sunday. It's right here. So I remember the van was going up the hill, and it dropped, the engine dropped out. And then they somehow or other, I don't know how, because there was no cell phones, but another van came from the Berkeley Temple, because that was the San Francisco Temple, and all the devotees stuffed into the van. And then when me and my three friends started to get in the van, the driver was quite belligerent. Yeah, like what you said, like an agitated brahmachari. And he was, no room. And Jayananda was pleading with him, please, you know, let them in. But then Jayananda was so saintly, he said, okay, they'll stay with me. And then Jayananda started to fix the engine in those old vans, which I think you could access, I don't know how, from the car. And my friend had a guitar. His name was Tom Brastowski. And Jayananda said, just chant Kirtan. And we began to chant Kirtan, and Jayananda went in and he fixed the car. And he was so wonderful. I mean, he was really impressive, just saintly, pure heart. And then we went to the Hare. And then we went with Madhavis, who Prabhupada said was the emperor of kirtan. And Madhavis, he was so charismatic. And I even remember the tune he would chant. He was kind of like the great American folk hero, you know, and Prabhupada loved him. And I remember he was leading the kirtan as we were marching there towards the where the hare musical was, and he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then we got to the, in front of the hare musical, and then there were Gohari. He had thousands of sticks of incense that he would light at one time, so there'd be a lot of smoke. And then we were about to begin the kirtan, but we were waiting for the people from the musical, the hare musical, to come out. So we were about to start, and then he was a very humorous person, and he looked at us and he said, don't chant until you see the whites of their eyes. And then and then we did this incredible kirtan, and I mean, there was this Afro-American devotee. I remember playing the drums, and it was just an incredible experience. And so I was just so impressed with this Jayananda person. And then I was in Vrindavan when Prabhupada came to leave the world. And when we came to his room that morning, this was, I tell this story, Prabhupada was in Rishikesh, and then some symptoms, the lights went out, there was a horrible storm, and Prabhupada's legs began to swell from his sickness, and Prabhupada said, take me to Vrindavan. And I woke up in the morning, and I found out that Prabhupada was coming to Vrindavan, and we went into Prabhupada's room, and I remember, I think Prabhupada was even, I'm not sure if he was, he may have been sitting on a chair. No, he was sitting at his thing, and we were sitting there where his bed was. There was no bed. And that's when Prabhupada said, I'm coming to leave this world. And he said, but if one has to leave, let him come to Vrindavan. He said, because everything is here. And he mentioned the Jamuna and the white sands of Raman Rathi. And then Prabhupada said, with conviction, he said, but if one has to leave, and the prophet said, but what is death but a change of body? And then he said, Deheno smin yata dehe komaran yovanam jara yata dehantarapapir biras, that as the soul transmigrates from boyhood to youth to old age, similarly the time of death, he accepts another body. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. And when Prabhupada said it, you could understand he was self-realized. He was not the least bit affected by the change of body. And then Prabhupada looked at us and started to talk about Jayananda. And I don't know if anybody has a tape, but I remember some things he said. But, you know, Prabhupada said, he helped me so much. And then Prabhupada talked that actually how Jayananda donated $5,000 for the He donated $5,000 for the nectar of devotion. So when I was looking at that, I was just seeing that this is bhakti, because by unalloyed selfless service, he gave himself to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada's a person. When you give yourself to a person, the quality of an exalted person is what? That they reciprocate in love. So when you give yourself to a person, you are in that person's heart. And I saw Jayananda was in Prabhupada's heart by his humble service. And I'm here. If possible, if people should try to mute their phones, because sometimes I hear the background, but if you can't, that's okay. since I'm hearing some kind of, anyway, what can you do? So he, I saw that he was in the heart of Prabhupada, so I was so impressed. So today is the disappearance of Jayananda, and Prabhupada recognizing him, and then Prabhupada hearing how he left the world, hearing Prabhupada's tape and kind of grasping the tape recorder. There's somehow or other a lot of noise on the other side today, so I don't know if it's possible to everyone to mute their phones. Usually we're able to do that because okay, I'll continue on. So that's nice. And in that same mood, because this is the heart of a Vaishnava. The heart of a Vaishnava is that he's experiencing Krishna consciousness and he has a strong desire to give it to others. And his heart is soft and open towards Krishna. And then it's soft and open towards others. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Jiva Dharma that the open heart towards Krishna is bhakti, and the open heart towards the living entities is compassion. And therefore, there's a relationship between compassion and bhakti. It's the open heart of a devotee. Reflected towards God, it's bhakti. Reflected towards those who are suffering, it's called compassion. So the Vaishnava has compassion. And therefore, he has an urgency to share Krishna consciousness with others. And we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Krishna Das Kaviraj, we see his compassion or urgency. I was describing on Sunday that he gives the Anjalila and the Madhyalila in Sutragana in synopsis form, in sutras. And the reason he gives it in sutras is because he fears that at his advanced age and his invalid condition, perhaps he will not be able to give the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita to the world. And therefore, he figures if he gives it in sutra forms. I discussed this on Sunday, but not everybody, I guess, was there from this class. And therefore, it's the same thing I was describing with Prabhupada, feeling that he may not live because he was at such an advanced age when he began his mission. And I looked on, and actually Krishnadas Kaviraj was in his last year of his life when he wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When it was completed, he left 1 year afterwards. So he's a very, very advanced age. And I was also marveling that he's writing a biography that both has the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, such as this Antyalila, are the most, you know, deep and subtle concepts of Vaishnava philosophy. And he's going to do it in poetry. So even to conceptualize and express philosophy in prose is an immense task. But when you have to actually not only conceptualize and express the idea, but then put it in poetry with words that rhyme in perfect meter, how much focus and attention there must be. And when one is sick and old, naturally when there's pains in the body, it's such a difficult situation. Just recently, just amazing, that I was called up by a cousin who I haven't seen in 35 years, nor have I seen my aunt in 35 years, and they live in California, and I went to see them, and I have an uncle, Stan, he's 82, And obviously, I mean, you could see he's had triple bypass and he's so ill. And he just was, at the end when I was leaving, I couldn't find something that I left. And he said, thank you, he said, because I'm not the only one that's losing his memory. And he was very nice. But I could see at that age, it's so hard to remember and you know, and what is he doing? He has to have such a wide frame of reference. And it's so high, I could see, even when I'm traveling, to access the frame of reference or the knowledge and teachings that I've already learned becomes very, very difficult, how it must be at that age. But he's so urgent. And I compare this to Jayananda Prabhu. There was such an urgency in the heart and such compassion for others that he, Krishna Das Kaviraj, he gives the synopsis, and I was mentioning also how Prabhupada gave the Krishna book out of that urgency. So, and then also out of that urgency, at the beginning of the Antya Lila, he gives the very esoteric and very deep essence of the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, which is the mood of Srimati Radharani in the highest stage of ecstasy. So then, we're at the part now, so I can discuss a little bit. Sure. Krishna Das Kaviraj now is going to give some synopsis of the Seisha Lila, or the end pastimes, and just a few verses or one verse on each pastime. And then perhaps, I was mentioning this the last class, if perhaps he wouldn't live, then at least Vaishnavas and future generations would have the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in codified form, and perhaps with the level of their advancement and their deep prayers, that the codes of these sutras which describe the pastimes in short could be expanded. So he begins naturally which pastime, because Seisha Lila means after Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. And as we remember, there are three parts or three activities in the Seisha Lila. There's Lord Chaitanya preaching in South India. There's Lord Chaitanya associating with the devotees and exchanging intense loving relationships in kirtan with the devotees in Puri. And then there's Lord Chaitanya's nirjan bhajan at the end of his life, especially the 12 years where he's trying to access the love of his topmost devotee, Srimati Radharani. And at that sense, also setting the example of how to achieve that love by remembering the pastimes of Srimati Radharani, specifically those pastimes of her deepest love in the mood of separation, and aspiring for that, and taking that within the heart. So so he begins to explain the Seisha Lila, and it begins when Lord Chaitanya takes sannyas. So and Lord Chaitanya takes sannyas, what does he do? Because what is sannyas? And Lord Chaitanya, when he's immediately, he leaves for Vrindavan. Why? Because what does sannyas mean for the Vaishnava, what sannyas means? And Lord Chaitanya himself is telling us what the Vaishnava sannyas means by quoting a verse of the Avanti Brahman in the Lord, the 11th canto. What is it? I'll cross over the ocean of nescience by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Mukunda. So in that mood of being firmly fixed in the lotus feet of the service of Mukunda, in that spirit, he's going to Vrindavan, which facilitates one becoming fixed in the lotus feet of Mukunda. So he begins to wander, and in that anticipation of Vrindavan, it serves as udipin, or inspiration to his love. I'm going to Vrindavan, I'm going to Vrindavan. And in that inspiration, it's prema avesh, he's in prema. And prema, not what level of prema, the highest level of prema, which is Vaisha, he's in samadhi. And in that samadhi, there's no cognizance of the external. So drik radik yan nahi, he did not know what direction he was going. Ratri dina, he did not know if it was day or night. It was a very intense absorption. So in that absorption, naturally, Lord Nityananda, who is the servant of Godhead, he becomes concerned to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and perhaps also, anyway, so I don't know if I want to, I told the pastime before, but Lord Nityananda follows him, and Lord Nityananda tells, because he knows he's going to be in this area, Radhadesh, that's the area where Lord Nityananda himself was born. Lord Nityananda saw these coward boys. He says, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes in this direction, when he says, which way is Vrindavan, because he's in this ecstatic mood, and he's chanting, Hari, Hari, and when he's chanting, Hari, Hari, all these young cowherd boys in this area are chanting, Hari, Hari, and Lord Chaitanya is so pleased. He's wandering this mood, Hari, Hari. He's wandering in the mood of devotion and prema. And when in that prema, somehow he comes to external consciousness and he asks, which way is the Jamuna? Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda said, if he comes this way, you point to the Ganges. So they point to the Ganges, and then he sees Lord Nityananda, and he asks Lord Nityananda, oh, what are you doing here? Lord Nityananda says, I am going to Vrindavan. He says, well, where is Vrindavan? And Lord Nityananda says, look, there, pointing to the Ganga, he says, there is the Jamuna. And Lord Nityananda already had a plan to take him back to Advaitacharya's house. He already sent Advaitacharya's son, Acharya Ratna, to go back to the house to tell Advaitacharya to prepare for Sodom and to bring a boat by the Ganga, and that will pick up Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya, naturally, he says, I have finally seen the Jamuna. I have finally seen the Jamuna, in such ecstasy he is. And then all of a sudden, he sees Advaitacharya, and he says, Advaita, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? You're also going. What are you doing here in Vrindavan? And then Advaitacharya reveals, actually, this is the Ganga. And Lord Chaitanya says, Lord Nityananda has cheated me. Advaita says, no, he hasn't cheated you. Actually, because at the confluence, the Ganga and actually the Jamuna and the Saraswati at the Triveni, they join. So he says, the western side of the Ganga is actually the Jamuna. And anyway, he comes back to the house, and that's the verse today. At the house of Advaita Prabhu, he met his mother as well as all the devotees from Mayapur. He adjusted everything and then went to Jagannath Puri. And adjusted everything is that Lord Chaitanya, he has to satisfy his devotees. And the topmost devotee is his mother. And she gave him her life. That's what love means. Love means when you give someone your life. In other words, you're in the service of that person's desires. So that person's being or desires become the center of your life. So it's almost if you yourself have no life. And that's prema, prema. Prema means there's no focus on oneself. And at the highest stage of Srimati Radharani, she's so focused on the love of Krishna that she forgets that she's Srimati Radharani. She can only see Krishna and her love for Krishna. So Mother Sachi had so much love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And not only the love, because her first son, Vishwaroop, was such Vishwaroop, he was such a scholar, but the combination somehow of the karma of being exceptionally beautiful and exceptionally scholarly rarely go together in one body. We see that. There's almost like different karmas. And it's a karma for a different purpose almost. But Vishwarupa is so beautiful, but he was also so scholarly. Therefore, he invoked the maximum amount of love from his parents, and then he went and took sannyas and never returned again, breaking the heart of Mother Sachi. And now her second and only son, and also she's a widow, her second and only son, he also takes sannyas. And in that prema vesh, moving him towards Vrindavan, and suddenly, somehow by divine providence, Lord Nityananda brings him back, and here in the verse it says, at the house, he adjusted everything. And what he had to adjust? He had to adjust the feelings of the devotees. It's an interesting point. Even though one is in prema and the highest love, then one also loves the devotees and has to satisfy the devotees also. But it's very tricky because as a sannyas, which he took for preaching, the injunction is that the sannyasi does not go back to his home. Of course, this is Shantipur, the house of Advaita Acharya. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya comes back, and then they call his mother, and then the devotees are begging Lord Chaitanya. They're saying, yes, you come to my house, you come to my house, you take your shot at my house. And very humbly, Mother Sachi says, you know, the injunction is that the sannyasi, I will never see you again. It's interesting because it's only the mother and the family, the wife. I will never see you again. All the other devotees will see you again. So I am making the humble request, when you are here, let me cook for you every day. And Lord Chaitanya, he told his mother, he said, you have given me everything, you have given me your life, whatever you want, I will do. And then because Mother Sachi, her love was pure, it wasn't pure, her love was so pure, she thought, I can't tell him to stay home because my object of my love, my son, he will be criticized if he does that. But I love him so much that I don't want him to leave home because I eternally want to serve him and cook for him. So she finally gave the injunction, if you can just stay near Puri. Then Puri, and it's a fact, when you go to Puri even today from Bengal, it's like the Bengalis come to Puri. It's actually their vacation place, their pilgrimage place. If you go to Puri, it's not such a far distance. The devotees will come and be back and forth, and therefore I will at least be able to hear from you. And therefore, you can see in the sincere desire of Mother Sachi, she actually served the Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his Acharya Leela, because it is in Puri, in relationship to Jagannath, without the flute, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could be in the mood of Srimati Radharani at Kurukshetra, where the mood of separation, the mood of wanting to see the supreme law of Krishna in that threefold bending form, Gopa Vesha Kahan, Nirjana Vrindavan, to see him in that form as the cowherd boy in the solitary place of Vrindavan. So his mother satisfied his desires and satisfied her own. So very wonderful. And now the next verse, which we'll discuss in the next class, but I'll just read it because you'll see how wonderful it. And after he finishes this synopsis, then in the chapters of the Madhya and Antya Lila, whatever he mentions in a verse or two, he will expand into a chapter and tell the whole story. So he says, Krishna Das Kaviraj. Now, this is his ecstasy because he's repeating all the wonderful pastimes. Patte Nana Lila Rasa Deva Dharasana Madhava Purita Pata Gopala Stapana. On the way towards Jagannath Puri. So then he leaves. So he's telling the historical pastime. Now he leaves Jagannath, he leaves Shantipur, He finally leaves, although Advaitacharya says, you stay a few, my one request, stay 2 or 4 days. And all the devotees were coming from Navadvipa, and the kirtans were just so ecstatic. And then Advaitacharya, after experiencing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his home for 3-4 days, taking prasadam and having kirtan, Advaitacharya breaks out into a song, which he heard from the great poet Vidyapati saying, my dear friends, what shall I say? Today I have received the highest transcendental pleasure after many, many days. Lord Krishna is in my house. And then Lord Chaitanya says to Advaitacharya, he says, I will personally take the lotus feet of anyone who can offer such nice food and pray that the lotus feet and place those lotus feet on my head birth after birth. Look at the loving Chaitanya Charitamrita, the loving exchanges of the Vaishnavas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased by the service. And when he sees the variety of foodstuff that is made, he's so happy. I will personally take, because what does he see? He sees amongst the vegetables when newly grown leaves of nimba trees, and they're fried with eggplant, and the fruit known as patala is fried with a kind of dal preparation, first mashed and then dried in the sun, and there was a particular preparation known as kushmandama. There's all these preparations. And interesting, what Prabhupada said in the purport, I don't think anybody yet has fulfilled this direct instruction of Prabhupada. Prabhupada in the purport, after this feast that had waked the chari, although he said, I'm just cooking you some simple vegetables, and he cooks this incredible feast of so many preparations, the purport Prabhupada said, we request our editors of cookbooks to add all these nice preparations described by the experienced author Krishna Das Kaviraj. So Prabhupada wanted, no one has done this, someone should make a cookbook on the feast of the feast of Advaitacharya cookbook. That would be wonderful. So then Lord Chaitanya leaves after the, and he goes, he leaves his mother, and he goes and he visits temples. And then, as this thing, he goes to the temple of Ramuna of Shira Chora Gopinath, the Gopinath deity who stole the sweet rice from Madhavendra Puri. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to that temple, he bows, and the flowers from the deity's head fall upon Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya gets up in ecstasy. And then he's taking the devotees with him on parikram. Lord Nityananda's with him and other devotees. And he says, because Madhavendra Puri, the disciple of Madhavendra Puri, was Ishvara Puri. So this is his param guru. He says that Ishvara Puri, I heard the story of the glories of Madhavendra Puri from my own guru, and I will tell you the wonderful story. And I guess on Sunday, although I'm going to have to figure it out, I'll probably send an email tomorrow, because I'm from here. I'm going up to Odaryagam, and there's a festival for the weekend, and I'll probably be speaking at that festival, and it ends Sunday morning. So either I'll give class, or depending on who's speaking, maybe I'll someone else or something, but there'll be some katha. But it's a wonderful pastime, and we'll tell about the Shira Chora Gopinath, the deity, and the ecstasy of Madhavendra Puri in the last days of his life. He was always chanting this famous verse, Ai Dina Daihadai Natta He Makara Natta Kodava Lokshise Hidyam Tvara Loka Kataram Dayata Brahmati. Oh my Lord! He was in the mood of Radharani, and he brought that mood of Radharani into the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So it's interesting. Right after he takes sannyas, and Krishnadas Kaviraj is telling the story. What story does he tell? He tells of Madhavendra Puri, who is the root of this whole tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's the main branch because he brought this feeling, this mood of Raganuga Bhakti. So he said, oh my Lord, oh most merciful master, oh master of Matamara, when shall I see you again? Because of not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. Oh most beloved one, what shall I do now? So that was his mood of separation. We will end now. Hare Krishna with Rati, are you there today? Rati Krishna, well, sometimes I like to know sometimes how many people were in. Hare Krishna, anyone like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Rasikya.
Rasikya, Hare Krishna, thank you, yes, nice to hear from you again.
You too.
Very, very good. Yeah. Someone has to make that cookbook.
Yeah, I wrote it down.
I guess only Jamuna or someone could do something like that. Where would they find? It'd be a wonderful thing, huh?
Some research into the recipes.
Yeah. Wonderful. Very good. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hello, who is this?
Gordon.
Gordon, it's always nice. Where are you today?
I'm by the Casperkill Woods.
You're by where?
It's called the Casperkill Woods. There are 100 acres of just woods that haven't been touched.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's so far they haven't.
Well, somehow the cell phone reaches or whatever phone you got, so... You can hear the class. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Deva Deva Dasi.
Hare Go, Deva Deva. Very nice.
You know, Bochan Prabhu lives in Hillsborough.
Who? What?
Bochan Prabhu?
Yeah.
He lives in Hillsborough.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
I only met him then. And then he was a very saintly person and very philosophical, very gentle person.
He is a very gentle soul.
Wow. Yeah, he would take out these articles of Bhakti Siddhanta. It was like his treasure. And my friend, Akshobhya, was very brilliant. And I couldn't even understand the English, you know. And they would discuss them. I remember that. Wow. And then he did that wonderful service of making the Murti of Prabhupada. How nice. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, we will then end for today. Vanchakalpa Tarugyascha Kupasindhu Vaeva Chapati Param Bhavani Vyavaishnavi.